Glad you're here with us today. Keep praying for one another. I know a lot of people haven't been feeling well. There's a few things going around, so make sure you pray for one another, take care of one another. Glad that you guys were able to join us today. What did we talk about last week? Do you remember? Church, yeah. I got a lot of people share with me this week about the message and how something they had been praying about, talking about, in a few moments, I want to just not talk about that again, but kind of talk a little bit of a follow-up with that. This Friday night, if you're not doing anything, you want to go over to Bridge. You want to have a block party over in New Jersey at the New Jersey Church from 6:30 to 9, you know, face painting balloon things and bounce houses and ice cream trucks and hot dogs and stuff there. But more importantly, just to engage people. Fellowship together, but also engage the neighborhood, and then we'll be looking to set up, our fall outreach here soon. We'll set a day for that. Usually we do that on a Saturday, but you'll hear those dates pretty soon as we're getting into fall already. Man, I actually like the fall season. I actually like the fall season, but summer goes very quickly, doesn't it? At least summer stays what until when? When does fall? Yesterday, at the end of September. So, I mean, but you know, we say summer like when the kids are off school, that kind of thing. It goes really fast. I don't know. But Father, just bless your word now to our hearts. Let us hear it, receive it with gladness, and let us desire to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I heard a lot from everyone about, not everyone, but many people about the message last week. If you didn't hear it, you can go online and, you know, they're all up online. The kids are heading downstairs now. Why church, you know? And then what was cool, though, is this week I also received some really good feedback, not from us, but from people outside the church saying, oh, how the church has blessed them, how the church has ministered to them, how the church has helped them. And I think that's a beautiful thing because that means we are the church, right? And when we reach out and we touch people's lives, it's noticed. And that's what this is all about. The church isn't about one individual or two individuals, you know. It's about us, the body of Christ. It's us together. And we are the church. You know, if you're born again, if you're saved, we are the church. And when we reach out and touch people, and sometimes some people don't want to be touched, that's okay. We can, you know, we still can love them, pray for them. But you know, it's noticed. It's noticed. And why do we come here? Right, to be equipped, right? Somebody say equipped. Equipped. Somebody else say it again. Let's say equipped. Okay. You're in that, like, you know, quiet mode. It's nice and cool in here. We come to get equipped so that we can go home and look in the mirror and say, look how equipped I am. I'm really equipped. I'm stylish equipped, baby. No, we come to be equipped for what? The working of the ministry, to go out and... You say, well, I got a ministry. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We all do. We have many ministries. Your house, right? Your home, your job, your neighborhood, your circle of friends, people in church, right? We minister to one another. I mean, so many things. We come here to get equipped so that we can go from here and do it. But it can get very tiring. The Bible warns us about not becoming weary in doing well or well-doing. And a lot of times we recognize that that's because we get to the point where we try to do a lot of what we do in our own strength, including just living the Christian life. Apostle Paul addressed that several times in his writings, but this morning I would like to have us turn to Galatians chapter 5. So get your Bible, your device with the Bible. Just make sure that the device is muted. And it'll be up on the big screen. But I want to kind of go through this chapter a little bit this morning to try to help us to understand about this whole idea of doing the things we're called to do, but not in our own power. Paul had been talking, writing to the church here in Galatia, And as he was writing to them, he was writing to them because they thought they were under the false teaching. They got caught up in some bad teaching that told them, well, now that you're saved, that's great. Jesus is your Lord and Savior, but you got to do more to make yourself better, to perfect yourself. You have to kind of help Jesus out a little bit. So they decided, whoa, what we need is Jesus, and we need to go back and follow the law of Moses. We'll get Jesus and the law, and we'll be super Christians. No. No. And Paul's been addressing that through this, in this epistle. He gets to chapter 5, where he says to them, Galatians 5, stand fast. Now, you know what it means to stand fast on something, right? An opinion or whatever. You're going to stand fast. I'm going to be rooted in. I'm just going to stand. Nobody's going to move me. I'm going to be there. Okay, well, stand fast. In what? The liberty by which Christ has made us free. Not stand fast in my abilities. Not stand fast in my church attendance. Not stand fast in my church membership or my denomination or whatever that might be, whatever. You know, I'm not going to stand fast in those things. He's not telling us to stand fast in that. He's telling us to stand fast in the liberty or freedom, the liberty that we have in Christ. That's what he wants us to stand fast in. He says, not standing fast in keeping of the law. Jesus actually freed us from the law, the keeping of the law. The law is good. He didn't say we don't have to abide by things. He said, but you can't keep it, so I freed you from having to keep it. Stand fast in the freedom that you have. See, sometimes we think freedom is doing whatever we want to do. That's freedom, baby. No, that's actually bondage. Freedom is the ability to not do the things that you have to do. Because when we are bound up, we do things that we don't even want to do sometimes. We have no control over it. And when the times we think we're doing our own thing, we're actually getting ourselves bound up more and more and more and more and more. The liberty in Christ is to be freed from those things. Not to have to do those things. But doing them but doing the things that he's called us to do in such a way that he gives us the power to do those things. That's freedom. And you notice what he says here, that liberty that he wants us to stand fast in is not a liberty that you and I purchase for ourselves. We did not make ourselves free. We didn't. We couldn't save ourselves. We didn't set ourselves free. Who set us free? Jesus. So if we didn't set ourselves free, can we keep ourselves walking in freedom? No, that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about, because so many times I see it. Some of us struggle more than others, but we all struggle with it. We try to keep ourselves walking in this freedom. He says, stand fast in the liberty which Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast. Hold on to Christ, to his freedom. Don't go under the yoke. Jesus told us that the yoke that he gives us is a light yoke. It's light because it's him. It's his grace. It's his power in us. Not the yoke that we put on ourselves to measure up, or the yoke that other people put on us to tell us if you do this, you will measure up. No, he says those yokes are bondages. They'll entangle us. They'll weigh us down. The Jews put 613 of commandments they said to keep the law of Moses. And then they added their twist on top of all of those. There were thousands and thousands and thousands and oh, man, do all this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. Make your head spin. Jesus said, no, I freed you from the obligation to have to keep those things for your own righteousness' sake. I freed you from that. Now I want you to walk in that. He says, listen, Paul says, indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised. Now, he's talking about circumcision here because the Galatians being Gentiles, if they went under the law of Moses, one of the requirements of the law that God gave Moses was for males to be circumcised. So he's basically using circumcision and saying that if you're deciding now to become, under the law, he says you're going to have to get circumcised. So he says, if you become circumcised, If you go back under the law, or you go to the law, if you decide that the law is going to help you to be super Christian or better Christian, he said, if you're going to do that, he says, then Christ will profit you nothing. What? Yeah, I didn't say it. This is God's word. If you're going to, once you've been saved, work hard at keeping yourself saved by doing whatever you think is the thing you need to do. In this case, they were going under the law of Moses and they had to get circumcised. So you might say it's something else. Okay? Whatever that thing it is that you think you need in and above Jesus, right? More than Jesus. I got my Jesus, I'm free in Jesus, but now I need to do this so that I could be more free in Jesus and I can do a better job of pleasing Jesus and I can do a better job of showing everybody how good a job I'm doing. He says, then Christ is nothing now to you. That means you're going to now walk in your own strength, not in his grace, not in his power. Oh, no. Have you done that? Are you doing it now? Likely, because many of us do. This is a danger. I say, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he now is a debtor to keep the whole law. That's what the law said itself. That's what the law God gave to Moses, because he was trying to teach us that we couldn't do anything on our own, that we needed Jesus. He says, okay, so you now, being Christians, want to go back and make yourself better by keeping the law. He says, guess what? You got to keep it all. All of it. All the time. So where's Christ in that? Where's grace in that? Right? You're trying to make yourself good. You can't do it. You can't do it. Can't do it. Stop trying to make yourself good. Stop. How many commandments, how many parts of the law can you say from memory? Can you do all 613 like they said? Can you do it? I can't. Can you do the 10? Can you do the 10 commandments by memory? Raise your hand if you think you could. You could raise it like this. You don't have to put it way up like that. Oh, okay, so none of us can even say them, let alone keep them. I'm not going to lie. And then you lie. And then you go, oh, that was a lie. And then you go, oh, that's one. And if you break that, you know what the Bible says? You're guilty of all of it. You're a murderer now. Oh, no. Wow. See, he says here that Christ will profit nothing because you're now walking in your attempt and your ability, not his ability. He says you're going to have to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Now, don't think that it means you're not saved all of a sudden. If you're born again, that's not mean that you fell from grace in that manner. It's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about, in fact, let me say this first. If you sin, and we all do, unfortunately, even after we're saved, we do sin. All right, if you sin and you repent of that sin, do you know what you're actually doing? You're falling into grace. That's the grace of God. Right? You sin, and Lord, I'm conviction, I repent. Oh, grace, praise God, right? It's not falling from grace, it's falling into grace. But he says, if you now sin, and you keep trying to struggle to do it on your own, you're falling what? From grace. And actually, what he's saying to you there is, he's saying, you're doing it on your own. You're not availing yourself to the power of the Holy Spirit in you. James Boyce, who was pastor up here in Philadelphia many years ago, 10th Presbyterian, he said this about this phrase. The phrase, meaning fallen from grace, does not mean that if a Christian sins, he falls from grace and thereby loses his salvation. There is a sense in which to sin is to fall into grace if one is repentant. So in the context, what Paul is really saying here and what he actually says in the original language is he says you've fallen out of grace, meaning that you're now trying to do it on your own. You're not availing yourself to his power, which is much different than falling from grace. So many of us as Christians sin. We all do. In fact, if you say you have not sinned, according to the word of God, you're a liar. I can tell you that. I can look at you and say, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. You say, don't call me a liar, Pastor. No, I didn't. The Bible said it. Because we all do, unfortunately. We don't want to, but it happens. That doesn't mean we fall from grace. But when we try to do better on our own in our strength, we fall what? Out of grace because we're trying to do it in our strength. Verse 5 says, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. In other words, he'll perfect us one day. It's coming. Not now, but it's coming. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's our faith in him, him working through us with the power of his love for us by dying on the cross. And knowing that if we now walk in that power, now we have to get to that, we're going to see something different. He says, you ran well. He's saying to the church. And I would say for us, we could say we ran well. We're doing okay. Maybe not perfect, but when I saved, I've changed. I'm different. Now, let me talk about that just for a minute before we go on. We all know people, maybe it was us at some time, hopefully not us right now, but we all know people that weren't doing very well in whatever area, and we decided we needed to make a change, and we made those changes in our life, and we got better. We got better. We were going down a bad road, and we changed, and we went and started going a good road. Did anybody do that? And you maybe had a tendency to lie all the time, and now you're like, you make a conscious effort. No, not to lie anymore. And maybe you stole a lot of things before. You say, no, I'm not going to steal anymore. And you made those conscious efforts, and maybe you say, I never used to go to church, but I want to go to church now because I think it's a good thing to do. And maybe you never read the Bible. You start to read the Bible. That's all good stuff. But if you're doing all those stuff, those things, and you're doing them better than you did before, that's great. But you know what you are at that point? You're reformed. You've made some changes. You reformed yourself. You were in a bad way. Now you're in a better way. I'm doing better. But if you're doing all those things and it's just reformation, guess what? You're still dead in your sins and you're still going to go to hell. What? No, but I'm doing better. Yeah, but you're doing better. You can't do enough. The Bible tells us that no matter how what we do to try to just make ourselves better, though it's noble and it's better from a human sense than we were before, oh, I don't drink anymore. Oh, that's great. No, I'm serious. I'm not making fun of that. That's great. I don't do drugs. Great. But if that's the extent of it, you're still in your sins. The Bible says that we don't need to be, or we don't want to just be reformed. We need to be transformed. And the only one that can transform us is Jesus. So yeah, we want to stop doing those things, but if we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to do those things within us, we're changed, we're transformed. So he says, you're running well. But who hindered you from obeying the truth? In other words, going all the way with it. This persuasion, in other words, to go back under the law, does not come from him who calls you. Jesus didn't tell you to go back under the law. The Holy Spirit didn't tell you to go back under the law. A little leaven, a little bad teaching, a little bit leavens the whole lump. So somewhere along the line you picked up from somebody that said, oh good, you're a Christian now, that's great. But now you got to do this, 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 and then you'll continue to be a good Christian. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to try this, 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 this. And then all of a sudden you don't do this, 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 and you say, oh, I'm going to hell. This didn't work either. Well, that's what happens when you get legalistic about your Christian walk. Because we're going to mess up the this, 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 and this sometimes along the way. Sometimes it will happen. Shouldn't happen, but it does. We don't want it to happen, but it does. He says, so wait a minute. So that teaching that they told you, now you had to do all these things, and when you found out you couldn't do it, now all of a sudden it messed you up big time, man. He says, I have confidence in you. And then really he goes on to say, in the Lord. In other words, I have confidence in you because of the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Whoever are those people that have fed you false teachings about, in this particular realm, about having to keep yourself to do certain things to be better at what you do. He says, you know, that one, he says, listen, he says, he's going to have to bear judgment, whoever that one is. You know, what did Jesus say? If you cause one of these little ones to stumble, ooh, you don't want to be in that place. He says, whoever those people are who are putting this yoke of bondage back on you, he says, God will deal with them, but you didn't learn it from Jesus. He says, and brethren, if I still preach circumcision, he says, now I'm not preaching circumcision anymore. Paul did when he was a Pharisee, when he was a Jew, when he was before he was saved. But when he got saved, he says, wait, circumcision doesn't matter anymore. We're free from that. He says, I don't do it anymore. He says, because if I did do it, why am I still suffering persecution? Because they're coming at me big time because I preach that you don't need to follow the law of Moses anymore that way. Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. What he actually says there is, these ones who want to put you under the law again by telling you that you have to get circumcised. Now he says, I wish they would just castrate themselves. Go the whole way. You believe that's what's going to save you? Cut it all off. That's what he's saying. That's how serious Paul says this issue is. This is serious for the church, because I'm going to tell you something, church. If we ourselves become a church that wants to do everything in our own power, you know what's going to happen to us? We're going to dry up. We're going to dry up. You yourself, if you're trying to do everything in your own power, you're going to dry up, because you and I cannot do it. We need his strength and his power. We need it. You know, we can have a wonderful, nice form of godliness and do all things on the surface well and read his Bible and do all these things. We can do all that but have no power. I mean, dry up. You're not tapped into the vine. The branches start to wither because there's no vitality anymore because it's all human driven. Oh, yeah, we're holy people. We're good people. We do this. We do that. I'm doing this. I'm doing, you notice that? I'm doing. What's Jesus doing? He says, for you, brethren, have been called again to freedom. Some of us are afraid to be free. You know that? Some of us are afraid to be free. I kind of feel like I have to say that even again. Some of us are afraid to be free. We're afraid to be free. We really are. We're afraid to walk in this freedom that Christ purchased for us. We're afraid we're going to mess up. See, what you're saying is, no, he's not big enough to do it for me. So I got to make sure. I got to control this. A lot of us, you can see that in your own life. You want to control everything. No, man. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Huh. That's interesting. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. You want to see something very interesting? And it would be entertaining if it wasn't so tragic. Put two self-willed and selfish people in a room together and watch how they eat each other alive. Woo! Eat each other alive. Put a church together that's a selfish church. And watch how the church bites and devours one another and eats one another alive. He says, that's not what you're called to do. Your opportunity, we don't have the liberty in Christ to get ourself and all of our selfish needs met. We have the liberty of Christ so that we can minister and serve one another and love one another. Love a neighbor as yourself. It's not about me. It's about how can I help somebody else. When we're so consumed about me, and how I'm doing, even if you want to walk well, but you're so consumed about what am I doing? Am I doing right? Am I doing this? You're just consumed on yourself. One of the best ways to walk the way you should do is to start ministering to other people. It's amazing. When you get your eyes off you and put them on somebody else to say, how can I help? It's amazing what the Holy Spirit does in you. So the liberty isn't a right to sin. Paul said, God forbid. But he says, yeah, but you have the freedom to serve one another. And then the law is fulfilled. So where does it all come down to? So let's bring it down to the key. This is the key verse in this chapter. He says, listen, Paul says, I say then, the apostle's saying, right? I say to you then, you're trying to figure out, how does this all work? He says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's it. That's it. We have to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit. Anytime we are finding ourselves, even when we don't want to, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, that means we are not walking in the Spirit. It's as simple as that. It is. See, the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives us strength. Now, let me talk about this for a minute, because he says that we shall walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Wow. All right, let's talk about this real quick. Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S. Notice, capital, big S. Right? Not human spirit, right? Capital, Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about here. This message is for the church. Right? Now, that doesn't mean if you're not in the church, you can't benefit from this, because, and we'll get to that in a few moments, but this message is primarily for the church. Who is the church? All those who have been what? Born again. Repented of their sins, turned to Jesus Christ, received by faith the grace of God, his blood washed us our sins away, and when he washed our sins away, what happened? The Holy Spirit came to live within us. If the Holy Spirit is not in you, you are not a Christian. You're not part of the church. That's God's word, not my opinion. If the Holy Spirit lives within you, praise God, you're the church. So know this, when you got saved, who came to live within you? The Holy Spirit. Huh, okay. So the first thing, he lives within you. Second thing is, you and I then have a responsibility and should be doing is listening to the Holy Spirit. Be open to him, sensitive to his influence, wanting to hear his voice. To hear him, to know him more. And when we do that, when we open ourselves to say, I want to know what the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, to my heart, how he's instructing me, how he's teaching me, then we want to say, is the third thing, is now I say, I hear it, I'm listening, I desire this, but now I got to do it. You have to do it. It's great to hear it. And it's great to listen to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's going to tell you at the same time, don't just hear it, do it. So you got the three things. He lives within you. We need to be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But then we have to say, I will do what the Holy Spirit directs me to do. Now, here's a little test for yourself. Here's how you can tell if you are walking in the Spirit. You're going to start to look like Jesus. Now, some of you are thinking, ooh, I'm getting some nice hair and a beard. Look, we don't know what Jesus looked like when he's on. It's not talking about physically looking like him. We don't know. The only description we have of Jesus there is he's in his glorified body. I mean, you know, no, he doesn't mean we're going to look like him that way. We're going to look like Jesus this way. Like he told the disciples in John, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, that wonderful chapter, even to 17. He says, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you things that I want to teach you, and you're going to start looking like me. He doesn't say those words, but that's the intent. You're going to start doing the things I've called you to do, I told you to do. You're going to start looking like Jesus. You're going to talk like Jesus. You're going to act like Jesus. You're going to listen to people like Jesus. You're going to love like Jesus. Wow. I mean, that's perfect love. We'll never be 100% like him on earth, but we're going to get more like him each day when we're walking in the Spirit. To look at somebody, and instead of looking at them with eyes of condemnation, you look at them and say, oh, Lord, how can I love them and bring them to the truth about you? How can I listen without my voice going, nah, at them? Yeah, maybe blah, about what they're doing. Okay, Lord, yeah, it's detestable. But Lord, how do I love past that? Enough to love them, to tell them the truth and to pray for them like they're my own maybe child or my family. See, you're going to start to become more like Jesus when you're walking with the Spirit, in the Spirit. And when you're doing that, when you're walking that, as you're walking like Jesus, you're going to hear what the Holy Spirit says. He's going to guide you and lead you into all truth. And you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. They don't go together. It doesn't. They just don't. They're contrary to one another. Now, here's a little thing that's a little funny. Now, when I say funny, we always talk about the flesh being the old man. But we have to get more technical than that, because according to the Word of God, when you got saved, now remember, I'm talking to those who have been born again. When you got saved, the old man died. Romans 6:6, put that up there, Jay. Romans 6:6. Look, read what that says. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. When we were born again, he died. 2 Corinthians 5, put up. You heard this one before too. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's what? A new creation. The old things passed away. All things have become new. When you got saved, they died. But there's still within us that remnants, if you will. The remnants of that nature, that rebelliousness, that still remains while we're still in this physical tent. It's there. It's that nature's there. And that's the nature that begins to rise up. So this is what Paul says. There's the battle against that nature. You're a new creation, and Christians are new creations, but there's still the nature's there. That old nature's there, if you will. And when you have that old nature there, all of a sudden, that's the thing that we have to struggle against. That same gentleman I referenced earlier, James Boyce, said about this word flesh, it's sarx in the Greek. He says when Paul speaks of sarx, or the flesh, he means that a man, all that a man is and is capable of as a sinful human being, apart from the unmerited intervention of God's Spirit in his life. So in other words, we're saved, we're a new creature, but there still remains in us that propensity to act like that in rebellion against God. Martin Luther, who struggled with a lot of carnal flesh, you know, say things, and he did it in the sexual realm. He said this about this verse. He says, when the flesh rises up, the only thing is to bring the Word of God against it. And then he also says that he knows that the word flesh here and the carnal lust are all these things that are only there, not only being sexual lust, but everything that is from within us. All those negative things which Paul's going to bring about here. In other words, he says the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, the revelries, and the like. Paul said they're evident. I don't even have to make a list. They're evident. Luther said, yeah, it's more than just sexual lust. He said, there's this whole list of things within the man, the things that still are deep down within us, even though the old man died, is still there within us. He says, and when we allow those things to come alive, he says, that's where the battle comes. That's where the fight comes. See, we're saved by the grace of Jesus alone, not by what we've done, even or what we promised to do. We didn't earn our salvation, and we can't keep ourselves saved. But what we can do is say, Lord, teach me how to walk your way and empower me to walk the way you want me to walk. He says to these people, all these different things, the people that walk this way, he says, I told you beforehand, I'll tell you again, whoever practices these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, again, that doesn't mean that if you're a Christian, you're born again, and you fall into one of those categories occasionally, which can happen, that you're not saved and not going to heaven. That's not what that means. Again, the Greek language is very important here. He says, those who habitually live the way of the works of the flesh, habitually live that way, he says, well, they're not saved. And if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. See, what happens is when you and I unfortunately sometimes find ourselves in a jealousy or envy or maybe unfortunately drunkenness and we're a Christian, immediately the Holy Spirit's going to convict us. And when the Holy Spirit convicts us and we repent of it, then we're allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that to our mind and we fall into grace, not out of grace. But if we continually live that way and only feel bad about it, not conviction, I'm talking about just feeling bad, because maybe you got pulled over and you have a DUI now and it cost you $10,000 in court fees and you lost your job and all that stuff. You feel really bad, but you're not convicted and you go out after your thing and you do it again and you still just do it. And he said, if that's the pattern of your life, well, then there's something wrong there. You got a question, well, are you really a child of God? Because we all sin, unfortunately. And we're still Christians. But it's not going to be the pattern of our life. We're not going to want to live in that way anymore. Spurgeon said, the grace that doesn't change my life will not save my soul. So the idea is when we come to Christ, yeah, we might fall down occasionally, but we immediately repent and get back up. The Holy Spirit doesn't drive us away from Jesus when we sin. He drives us to him. Because our nature, sin nature, like Adam from the beginning, they sinned against God. And what did they do? They hid from God. That's nature. That's the sin rebellion. Oh, we're run away from God. The Holy Spirit will say, no, 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 go to him. Repent. He loves you. Feel his loving arms around you. And hear his words that say, my child, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, the other hand, the fruit of the spirits, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When those things are more apparent in your life than the other works of the flesh, he says, guess what? There's no law against these things. Against such, there's no law. Actually, listen to me carefully when I say this. If you are, and I am, exhibiting the fruits of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, all down that list. We don't need people to tell us about the laws. We're not going to break them. You're not going to lie to the people you love. Right? When you're walking in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life, nobody has to even tell you anymore. We don't need the list. Yeah, the list will be kept by doing this, you know? But we don't have to be, you better do this, and you better do that. We're just going to do it. We're going to just do it. How? Because we're so good at doing it? No, because we're availing ourselves to the Holy Spirit's power. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this is how he ends it up. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. See, one of the tricks of the enemy is when we are trying to do it our way, and all of a sudden we have a really good week, and we're doing all things good. I did really good this week. Then we start looking at everybody else, and they ain't doing too good. Look how good I'm doing this week. You know what happens when you get puffed up that way? You know what's coming next? But when you're being empowered by the Holy Spirit and you know that it's him doing it in you and you have nothing to boast about except the power of God working in you, then you look at others who are struggling and you love them and you weigh, I want to pray for my brother. I want to pray for my sister. I want to help them. How can I help them? How can I be a good example to them? How can I love them more and help them to grow more? You don't condemn them. You don't provoke them. That's the difference. And it's a stark difference, isn't it? It's an amazing difference. So the old man was crucified. What remains wants to come alive. How do you tell? Well, what's evident? The lust of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? Now let me ask you this as we get ready to close. We're all struggling this to different degrees. We all want to do better, so we try to do better, and then we end up not doing better, and then we, a wretched man that I am. You know, like Paul said, I want to do good, but I don't do good. But then we finally get it. You hear teaching from the Word of God, and we say, no, I have to submit and surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit so that he will do this work in me. And then you begin to see that the Holy Spirit begins to give you wisdom. So in other words, you start to look at your life and you say, what am I feeding more? In other words, yeah, I find a lot of fleshliness still within me. But I notice that, yeah, I'm spending a lot of time watching this movie or this program or reading this kind of book or hanging with these people, whatever it might be. And as I do that, I find myself exhibiting more of those things, if not in action, at least in my mind. And the Holy Spirit's going to say to you, if you let him control the thing, he's going to say to you, no, 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 give me the reins, but I'm also going to give you wisdom. Stop watching that. Stay away from that. There's things that we have to not be about, not because it's a legal thing, because the Holy Spirit will say, no, that's where you're weak. I know areas in my life where the Holy Spirit has given me the victory, and I cannot boast in myself, but I know there's areas that don't have the control over me that once were there. So that can kind of take it or leave it. It doesn't matter anymore. But there's other areas in my life that are weak spots. And I have to listen to the Holy Spirit to keep me from the weak spots. So I don't find myself gravitating toward there and feeding that old nature that comes up again, and all of a sudden I see the works of the flesh. Then on the other hand, are you allowing yourself to feed, if you will, the things of the Spirit? You're spending time in the Word of God, in prayer, in good Christian fellowship, right? The things that we know, disciplines we know, not because I got it, because I know that when I do this, then all of a sudden, I'm loving people like I never loved before. And I have more peace and joy in my life. And I'm much more patient when I take the time to be with Jesus and I allow the Holy Spirit to take control. Inside of me, there's a part of me that wants to rip them apart, but then there's this other thing that says, no, just listen to them and love them. Pray for them. Here's a word to speak to them that will help them. It's a big difference. But only you can answer that for yourself. I can't answer that for you. I can't answer whether you're saved or not. Only you can. Do you know when you were born again? Do you? I don't know the date, but I know everything about that night. Everything about it. It's just like it was yesterday. Do you know when he came to faith in Christ? Good. Praise God. Now he lives within you. Listen to him. Walk his way in his power. So I can't answer any of these questions. I'm here just to do my job and to teach it, exhort, and to be an example. That's why you should pray for me as I pray for you, right? That we could be examples and help one another so that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Father, thank you today for your word, your truth. Lord, it's good that we do things like come to church and be the church and go out. But if we're doing it our own strength, eventually it's going to catch up with us. Father, even in our own life, every time we try to do good and try harder, we're going to stumble and fall. Lord, the only victory in that is to allow you to work in and through us by your Holy Spirit, to surrender to you, to know that when we fall, we don't run from you, we run to you. We know that when we are weak, then you are strong in us. Father, teach us today. Father, take inventory. As we take inventory, give us the ability to see ourselves through your lens, your perspective. Is there more of the things of the flesh in us or the fruit of the Spirit, Lord God? And help us then to identify those areas that need to change. Father, if we heard this message today and from that we recognize that we're not saved, that I try to do good things. I want to be a good person, but I know that the Holy Spirit's not in me. Then, Father, today is the time to make that right, because we don't want just to be reformed. We need to be transformed. So, Lord, has anyone heard this message and knows they need Jesus, know they have tried to be good in their own strength, then, Father, I pray right now that they would call upon you. They would turn from their sin, even if that sin of pride that says they could do it their own way, whatever it might be, and they would repent of their sin, and they would receive your forgiveness, and they'd be washed and cleansed. Then, Lord, your Holy Spirit will come and live within them, and they can yield and daily, like all of us should be able to do, yield daily to the power of the Spirit working within us, that we would glorify our Father in heaven, and that, Lord, the works and things that we do would give you glory and honor and would magnify your work into this world through your church. So help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Don't just run right out. You can come up for prayer if you like, and you can encourage one another. You can pray with one another. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would do his work in us today, but let's receive it. Don't just sing it. Pray it. Stand on your word, Holy Spirit.